Please turn now in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Reading from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We'll end our reading there, praying the Lord will bless His word to our hearts as we have read this morning. Striking passage of the Word of God. You will remember how that when the Lord healed the blind man that we looked at last Lord's Day, he went and was interrogated by the Pharisees, and they asked him again. And after the second time, he said, well, I've already told you how I received my sight. If I tell you again, will you be his disciples? Oh, they were not happy about that. But here the Lord Jesus says a very similar thing to the Pharisees that he had told them time and time again who he was. His identity was not hidden from them, but they refused to accept it. And he says to them here, I have told you already who I am, and you do not believe me. If I tell you again, will you believe further? And the answer, of course, is no, because the heart of man, the heart of the Christ rejecter, is hard and it is dark. His eyes are closed, and it is only by the work of the Spirit of God to open the understanding. And when the Lord does that, there will then be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, we have the Word open now, and our prayer, as we often pray, Lord, we need concentration. We need the help of the Spirit of God to hear. Lord, I need help this morning to speak that word. We don't come to invent truth. We don't come to say something that is new. We come, Lord, to the old paths. We come to that which is the well-trodden way and road. And I pray, Father, that as we speak the things of truth and life, it might please Thee, Lord, to take that word and comfort the hearts of Thy people. And Lord, that we will ourselves know the peace, the deep, settled peace in our heart of knowing whom we have believed in. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I pray that You would work in the heart of each one today who is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this, our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn your attention, please, in John chapter number 10 to verse 14 and also verse 27. Verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We sang today and also recited Psalm 23. How many funeral services have you been at where that famous psalm has been sung and read? How many times at a hospital bed has that psalm of comfort been spoken? And I think that most of us here will have been at some time on the receiving end of the great comfort of the Word of God. And specifically the opening line of that psalm where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to think with me today upon our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we pursue Him in our study to see more of the wonder
and the splendor of who He is. We do not say something today that is new to most people here. But what is being communicated to you is the very word of life, the very truth of God's holy revelation. And when we dwell upon the truth of those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," we know it is the living God, Jehovah Himself, who has come down from the glory of eternity. He has come down, my friend, to make Himself known as our shepherd to us. We whose eyes were blind by our own sin, we who were closed off from the revelation of God Himself, but the Lord has in His gentleness, in His grace and kindness, come to show Himself to you and me. And do you remember, believer, that first instance where your mind was opened and your heart was there to receive the beauty and the wonder of your Redeemer? Can you remember that day? That was a happy day. Oh, we sing about it. We talk of the wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my soul. And when the Lord entered your life, when He came in and took over the management of our being, that was a day when sin's power was broken, because it was on that day that we confessed Jesus Christ as our Savior. It was on that day that we looked to the cross. We looked to the place where the one who suffered and died in our place. Oh, did you see the words of verse 11? "I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He has gone there to the cross of Calvary to die in our place. He has gone there, my friend, to purchase our redemption. He has gone there to lay His life down, an offering, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God today. Rejoice, believer. And it does not matter what you are going through. It does not matter what trial you are facing. It doesn't matter what devastation has come your life in your way. If you know Christ as your own, it all fades away, because He is worth it all. And knowing Him is the greatest knowledge that a man could have in life. And not knowing Him is the greatest darkness that a man could ever experience. And today, you have been saved by His grace. Today, you have been brought into the fold, into the family of God. And today, you can rejoice. And friend, tomorrow and the next day, when the issues of life are pressing down on you, view those issues in the light of the victory of Calvary's cross, because everything else fades away when we see the wonder and the splendor of our great shepherd, our great Redeemer. Friend, today, do you know Him? Have you experienced His joy and peace in your life? When you come to these portions, these chapters of John, they are words that you can feast on for a long period of time. You can read them over and over again. They are tender and precious words. We have already thought about John 8:58, where Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Well, that's really the beginning of the Lord expounding who He was and the great eternal perspective to mankind, and that the I Ams of Christ, they come to us with such profound teaching and knowledge, and yet with such childlike simplicity that even the youngest ones can understand what that means. When Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd," it resonates in the heart of you, Christian, today, because you have experienced the fact that Christ is your great shepherd. But I present to you today, my friend, if you are out of the Lord, if you do not know Him, let me say and introduce my Savior to you. Let me introduce my great shepherd to you. And I can say, come to Him. He will never disappoint you. He will never desert you. He will never discourage you. But in all things, what He is doing in our lives, He is doing for His own glory and for our good. And that's why Paul could say in Romans 8:58 with such affirmation and confidence, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called ones according to His purpose. Are you in the Lord today? Are you rejoicing in so great salvation? The youngest child is able and has done so from Sunday school classes in the sunshine room. They are the youngest ones next to the nursery, the youngest children in our ministry. And yet they have been taught by the faithful teachers of the Sunday school department, they have been taught that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one who leads the lambs of the flock. He leads the little ones along. And the Lord, who is never a disappointment to us, leads us along every step of the way. The youngest child understands this timeless truth, powerful and humbling though it is. I want us to notice, please, in the first place, that as Jesus says in verse 14, I know my sheep. That assurance that He knows us. If you are one of His, He knows you. And He knows exactly where you are. And you know what this tells us when Jesus said, I know my sheep. It speaks to us of our identity with Christ. We have been brought into a relationship with Him. And being brought into that relationship with Him, we now have, in a sense, the branding of the Lord upon us. And sheep and animals who are part of a ranch, part of a certain fold, they will receive the branding on the hide that will mark their identity. And you and I today have been branded, if you like. We have been marked by that marking which God has placed upon us. And we are known by the Lord. And we also are known by the world that we belong to another master. Our identity with the Lord is certain and it is sure. And the great teaching of the Word of God is this, that we did not choose Christ, but He chose us. This is the wonder of God's sovereign grace, my friend, today. That we are saved and identified with Christ today, not because of our intellect, not because of our education, not because of who we are, but because of God's sovereign electing grace, that before the foundation of the world, He has chosen us in Christ unto salvation. And my friend, we can hardly scratch the surface of that immense doctrine and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that trust in Him. Oh, friend, today, do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? The Lord knows His own. In the great mass of humanity, there is no danger, my friend, of the Lord losing any of His sheep. He knows every one of us by name. He knows our identity. And sometimes, if you were to look at a herd of sheep, you may not be able to tell the distinction between them because we don't know them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He never has lost one of His own. And He will never lose one because we bear His mark. And we know Him and He knows us. You think of the size of the universe that is around us, and scientists and those who study the sky, they tell us that the universe appears to be expanding at a faster rate than the speed of light. We cannot comprehend these things. These are amazing. And yet the God who has made more stars than we are able to number, and the Lord that knows every detail about His creation, is the God who has humbled Himself to come into a relationship with sinners that we are. The Lord knows us, friend. David said in the psalm, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members are written. How precious are Thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. And what did Jeremiah say? Before I was formed in the belly, I knew Thee. God said that about Jeremiah. The Lord knows us, friend. And if He knows us in our humanity, and He knows us from the particles of dirt that from which man has been made and created, He knows us much more intently in our spirit. For we are spiritual beings, and the God who breathed life into Adam and has breathed spiritual life into us through His Son, He knows us. And He will never, ever lose us, friend. Jesus said, no one will be able to pluck us out of the hand of God. So, we are known, and it means our identity. But it also means, friend, that the Lord knows our intricate needs. The shepherd cares for the sheep, and He knows what they have need of. And He arranges the circumstances to take care of their needs. The shepherd leads the sheep to the green pastures, to the place where the grass is going to be pleasant for them to be able to eat and be nourished. The shepherd is the one who takes care of the sheep. What did the Apostle Paul say in the book of Philippians? He said, at the end of all his struggle, his imprisonment, his suffering, at the end of him having virtually nothing, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And with a promise like that, friend, it does not mean that God is going to give us great riches. It does not mean that we're going to have more than what God allows us to have. When Israel was in the wilderness, God supplied for them water and bread. And at the end, when Moses was recalling the blessings of God, he said, the Lord has supplied abundantly to all your need. The Lord took care. You know, my friend, the Lord will take care of you. He will take care of me. And whatever life might throw at us, seemingly by surprise to us, and not planned in our way, yet God knows, and He is planning and purposing and taking care of all the needs that you and I have. And what does He tell us in Matthew 6? you look at the flowers and the trees and the grass, and they grow, and they don't worry. They don't fret about where they're going to be supplied the sunshine to make them grow. They don't fret of all those things. And he tells us and reminds us in Matthew 6, do not worry about your existence. Do not worry about your needs. You commit your way to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. My, that's a lesson for me. Is it a lesson for you today? Christian, are you going through some time of worry and distress, not sure where the next mortgage payment's going to be made? Maybe you've come in hard times in your employment. You're not certain how the next load of groceries is going to be purchased. Yes, those are real and pressing concerns that can be upon people, and it can be consuming in us. Because maybe either the job has been lost, or the job's almost going to be lost, or you're going to be made redundant in your job. What then? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. My friend, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The God of creation, who has brought you into identity and a relationship with him, will take care of all our needs. He is our great supplier. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, the Lord is always with his face toward his people. He is always with his heart and his hands open towards them, meticulously watching over every detail. Oh, the Lord's not ignorant of us. Sometimes we forget those who are even the nearest to us. We might forget our responsibilities at times. But the Lord never does, friend, because he is our faithful, our kind, and our good shepherd. And he takes care of us in our limitations, and they are many. For we're told that he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103. And the God who is in charge of us, the one who is overseeing who we are and what we are doing, he knows that we are weak creatures at very best. He remembers that we are our dust. When God created Adam at the very beginning of time, he made Adam, he was made of the elements of the earth. And there's Adam formed, lying on the ground in the garden without life. And what did the Lord do? But he came to Adam and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam then became a living soul. In other words, God breathed life and spirit into Adam. And from that point onward, Adam became a spiritual being. The earthly part was secondary. The primary part is what God breathed into him. And what God has breathed into you and me, believer, today is his spirit and life. And so that we know him. His mark is on us. And our great shepherd, he is the one who will take care. Sometimes you and I think we know our limitations. And maybe we foolishly deceive ourselves and we attempt to do things that, well, wisdom teaches us afterward it wasn't such a good idea, because we end up messing up things. But you know, the Lord knows our limitations. And we're told he is very conscious of how limited we are. And he will not allow us to suffer. He will not allow us to be tested above that we are able. That means to tell us that testing will come. Oh yes, testing will be for the life of the child of God. And don't be surprised when these things come. But God is the one who not only allows the testing, but is very often the one that steers us into the testing, because We have to be shown our total dependence upon Him. We can't do this ourselves. We need the Lord a lot more than we understand we need Him. But the Lord is merciful and kind, and He knows our great limitations. He will not overdrive the sheep. Wasn't that what Jacob did when he was conscious of the weakness of the lambs of the flock? Remember when he met Esau? And Esau said, "We'll go with you. We'll go on the way back." And Jacob said, "No, no, no. We don't want to overdrive the flock. If they're overdriven one day, they will die." He knew the sheep. And the Lord knows us, friend. He knows that we cannot be able to do more than He puts upon us or allows us to have. F.B. Meyer made this comment. He said of Christ, "He has a shepherd's heart and skill. He will not overdrive. When He puts forth His own sheep, He will certainly go before them, and they shall follow Him. He will suit His pace to theirs. Words can never tell His tender, considerate. If the tract lies over difficult and stony roads, it is because there is no other way of reaching the rich meadowlands. When strength fails, He will carry thee. When heavy demands are made, He will be gentleness itself. He is the good shepherd who knows His sheep as the Father knows Him." Ah, yes, friend. Christ's Father tenderly, compassionately knows the Son. And so the Son compassionately and tenderly knows His own sheep that were given to Him of the Father. I want you to notice in the second place today, not only does Christ know us, but we know our shepherd. Look at verse 4 of John 10. It says, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice." And then in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." What does it mean when the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? Well, the very tone of the voice is known. Sometimes, if you've been familiar going through the Tim Hortons drive-thru, and if you frequent the same one a number of times, maybe the people there get to know you a little bit. And if they can't see your car because it's distant away from where the ordering station is, as soon as you would say something, they, "Oh, welcome, good to hear you again. Glad you're driving by." Why? Because the person has become familiar with your voice even though they can't see your face. Sometimes when we have an opportunity of talking with our girls that are separated from us by a few miles down in North Carolina, and it's either FaceTime or on the phone conversation, and we're talking away to them, and they have their dog demo. Well, as soon as I come on the voice, and they out, he immediately comes and runs because he recognizes the tone or the sound of my voice. And he can't see when I'm not there, but he hears the voice, and he runs. And it's very interesting how sensitive animals' voices or hearing is to the voice of those whom they know. And if you have an animal, you will know it very well. Ah, my friend, in a very human and animal relationship, that's one thing. But the Lord here is using the picture of the sheep with the shepherd, an illustration which everyone can understand, but He's lifting it to a very high level. He's talking about sinners who have been saved. He's talking about His own people. And He's talking about the voice of Christ's Spirit speaking to us and showing us the way through life. And the import of this was the Pharisees are another voice, a false shepherd. And the Pharisees who are speaking false doctrine and teaching, no, the sheep, those who are truly regenerated, they don't listen to the Pharisee. But they come and follow the Son of God, because the Son of God is speaking the word of the Father. And that which has been communicated and written in the revelation of the Lord, that's what the true Christian is to follow. We hear the voice of the Savior. But sadly, friends, sometimes it seems that the voice of the Savior is being drowned out. And when you hear a multitude of voices, is it possible for the Christian to be confused? Is it possible for the Christian to be sidetracked? And you're wondering now, because you hear this and you hear this, the Lord's voice is in there somewhere, but maybe you've been distracted. Maybe I've been distracted by the responsibilities of life, distracted by other things that crowd in. And those voices are many. And when the devil comes to the people of God, oh, all he wants to do is introduce one more voice. And one more voice that's brought in. It may begin to unsettle you a little bit. Are you distracted, friend, today because work has taken a priority in your life that it should not have? Have you been distracted, friend, because entertainment or pleasure has taken a prominent place, not bad in its place, but it becomes to such a degree, no longer can we hear the clarity of the voice of the Son of God. And so let us be careful that though we must work and though we are to have free time and time of just enjoying ourselves and what the Lord has blessed us with, let us be always cautious that we don't allow these things to take priority, that we don't have the voice of Christ drowned out in our life. Let us be careful and say and ask that prayer, Lord, ever and always, help me to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. We know our shepherd, and he knows, we know his voice, and we follow him. And we know that he hears and will take care of us because of all the provision that we have need of. But it's also very interesting that we know our shepherd, and he knows us, and there will be times that he will have to come to correct us as his sheep. We've heard the illustrations before of sheep that don't really have much of a homing device, and they are prone to wander off. And the shepherd, as he is looking for the lost sheep, the one who is wandering, may be dangerously close to the precipice to falling over. And what does the shepherd do? He will search for that sheep. He will go after that one. And sometimes the great shepherd will have to put in place some corrective measures so that the sheep will learn not to wander away. What does the Bible tell us, friend? Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. You're loved by the Lord. Understand that he will bring correction. I know I am loved by the Lord. God will deal with me and bring me through those steps of correction. Let us not, therefore, become angry or fretful. Let us not take a huff with the Lord, so to speak. No, let us realize that what he is doing in us and through us, friends, by his loving kindness and his provision, us knowing his voice, him knowing us, that sometimes we must be corrected. But in all this, we know this is true as well, that his love for us is never failing. It is never ending. For we have been loved with everlasting love, and we are led by grace that love to know. For Paul reminds us that he is the one who suffered and died in our place because he loves us with more than we will ever comprehend. Oh, friend, today, you love the Lord in your heart. But whatever puny love that we offer in response to Him, let us never forget that He loves us so much that He went to Calvary's cross, and there He suffered and bled and died for us today. One final point I leave with you today from this word. Please look at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. Are you following the Lord this morning, believer? Are you following hard after the Lord? Or are we following maybe at a distance? Yes, we see a long way off. I can still see the Lord there somewhere, but what's holding us back following afar off? Some of you, most of you, if you haven't heard of Twitter, I'm not sure what age you're living in, but anyways, Twitter recognizes followers and people, they seem to take a boast now in following someone other than being followed. I'm not so sure how that works, but so anyways, I typed into Google, how many followers does, and Donald Trump's name came up right away, following right after that. So he has 50 million followers. Other people might boast, well, if he had 500 followers, I might think I was somebody. Anyways, of the 8 top followers of Twitter, 7 of them are entertainers. Now, what does that tell you about people's minds today and what they're really interested in? Sports figures or movie stars or whatever. Of the top 8, 7 are entertainers. There was a time when the so-called movers and shakers in this world would say, don't be a follower, but be a leader. But today it seems to have turned around a little bit. It's almost a point in favor. Ah, but my friend, if we are truly a child of God, if we hear the voice of Christ, then we are going to be a follower of the Savior. And what does that mean? It means that we pursue the Son of God. And if we're pursuing the Son of God, we are going to walk in obedience to His Word. Pursuing the Savior, taking His Word at face value. And not reading the Scripture and then setting it aside, but all praying that the Spirit of God would help us to take in the Word and to walk in truth. It means to pursue Christ that we will love the things that He loves and that we will hate the things that God hates. Yes, friend, God loves and God hates. It means to be identified with Jesus. And it's not just in a church setting. It means to be identified with the Lord in your everyday setting so that people know that you are a follower of the Savior, to be identified with Him. And I'll tell you what that means. When you pursue the Son of God and you are identified with Him, it's going to mean this. It's going to mean to bear the reproach of the cross. Isn't that what Moses did? We're told in Hebrews 11, when he forsook all of Egypt and all of Pharaoh's household, he did that for this purpose. He rather would bear the reproach of Christ. Yes, that's what Moses did. And you and I will be called in this world to bear the reproach of Christ. That's not popular today. And Christianity wants to be set up as something that is friendly to all, acceptable by the world, and pleasing to people. It's not going to happen. It did not happen in Moses' day. It didn't happen in Christ's day. And it will not happen in our day. But to be a true follower of the Lamb, we are going to bear some degree of the reproach of the cross of Christ. Yes, friend, but the joy of all this will mean that we will be with Him in all eternity. I ask you this morning, friend, are you a follower of the Lord? That is all that matters in this life, and all that matters for eternity. The hymn writer said, "Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we know that if a man pursues the Savior, he will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I pray that each of us will seek Thee with all of our souls, all of our heart's desire. And the Lord, we will find that settled comfort, that stability in our daily walk. Lord, hear our prayer this morning. Save precious souls, we ask. Part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.